As our series of lessons from the Sermon on the Mount come near to a close, as I mentioned, I think last week, and I know I mentioned Wednesday evening, there is planned for at least one, or for one more lesson regarding the teachings here in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And we want to look at that time about how Jesus was received in His message. But we have one final parable, story, illustration that Jesus gives us here in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think in many ways it is a summation of the things that He has had to say. It is a closing statement to the message that He has presented. And it draws attention back to all of the things that He has talked about up to this point. I just turn that thing off. We can do it. This is what I want. We want to look this morning at Jesus' illustration regarding what would make us wise. And the thing that we notice regarding the way of the wise from the very beginning of what Jesus says is that the wise does and the foolish does not, or does not completely. And we'll talk about that a little more as we get further into the lesson. But I want us to recognize from the very beginning that this is a closing argument, as you were. It is connected to what we talked about last week, last month, when we talked about which way are you going to choose. Are you going to walk the narrow way, or are you going to walk the broad way is also included in this. These ideas that are spoken about in this last part of chapter 7 are important for us to consider in regards to all that Jesus has said before. Remember, His statement back just a few verses is, it's not the one who claims to serve God, but the one who actually does the will of my Father. And this particular illustration, I think, expounds on that idea. Jesus tells us that our wisdom is going to be reflected in how and why we build. It's going to be reflected in the purpose for our building as much as the way that we build. And I think that's something that bears out as we look at what's going on in this particular illustration. And I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a number of passages that are on the screen. You may want to start writing as soon as you see them, if you're going to write them down. But I will make mention, if all goes as planned, this lesson, like all our other lessons, will be available on our website, both the audio and a outline, and you can actually get this whole presentation there if you want to get it, look at it, so that is available for you to take advantage of for yourself or to others. But in thinking about this idea of the wise being doers, first thoughts turn back to the Old Testament, and we'll reference several passages in the wisdom literature. But in Proverbs 24 and verse 3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. We are workers for God, we are builders for God, and we'll expand on that point as we go through the lesson. But we need wisdom in order to be able to build in a manner that will stand up. And that's what Jesus is telling us here in this illustration. In fact, in some ways, as I was studying and preparing for this, I thought, you know, we just get up there and say, Jesus says you need to use what He's told you and put it into practice, and then you'll be secure and we can be done with the lesson. But there needs to be some expounding on that. There are some other passages to look at, and James is one of the passages that always comes to mind when I read this illustration about the wise and the foolish man. Because James tells us in James chapter 1 that we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. If we are only hearers, we are deceiving ourselves. We're just like someone who looks into the mirror and then when he turns away, he forgets what he looks like. Hearing the Word does absolutely no good for us if we don't put it into practice in our lives, if we don't carry it with us as we move forward. We need to put into practice the things that we learn. And Romans chapter 2 and verse 13 reminds us that it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Not the hearers, but the doers. Wisdom is reflected in how and why we build, because we have a necessity to build with the idea that we need to be ready for the storms that are going to come upon us. We need to build with the thought in mind that I need something that will withstand the difficulties and struggles of this life, and most importantly, will be ready to stand when I face the storms on Jordan's banks, to kind of paraphrase from our song we just sang. Way back in the book of Numbers, the Israelites were told that when they sin against the Lord, to be sure your sin will find you out. Paul wrote to the Romans, again, we go to Romans chapter 2, we look at verse 4 through 6, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. And keep in mind, this is in the midst of Paul's description of how all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 1, in the latter half of that chapter, he talks about how the Gentiles had turned themselves away from God and God let them go because they refused to listen to him. In chapter 2, he moves to the Jews to remind them that they had been given the law of God, but oftentimes they had turned their backs upon God's law and went after other gods. And they needed to be reminded that God's loving kindness, His mercy, His patience, His grace is for those who are obedient to His Word. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It does not matter who we are. It does not matter how long we may have been a Christian or how short. It does not matter how we learned our faith, how we have strengthened ourselves in the past. What matters is, am I doing God's will right now? God will execute His judgment on those who are living in sin. For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one can receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, Paul says, as he writes to the Corinthians there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Now remember, Paul's dealing with those who are trying to tear down his teaching, trying to tear down his reputation, if you will, as a speaker of truth, so that they can get the Corinthian brethren to follow after them. And that's why we have those statements about God knows me. But Paul's reminder to these Corinthian brethren should be a sobering thought to us. There is a day coming when I will stand before God in judgment. For it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Hebrew writer tells us. There is a storm coming. There is a time of accounting that will come upon us, and if we're not building with wisdom, what we have built will not withstand that storm. So not only are we building for the here and the now, Not only are we building something that will protect us and help us and keep us safe while we walk through this world, and certainly there are a number of storms that we will face as we walk through this world. But ultimately we're building to be prepared to stand on that final day in judgment. When we come before Christ in judgment, we come before God on that final judgment day when all things will be brought into the open. Will we be able to stand before God as one who is justified because we did, not just heard? That's what we're talking about when we talk about being careful how we build and wisely building. On that final day, we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord." But if we're not careful how we build, we will hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." We know what is coming. We know what God expects of us, and so we need to be careful and wise in our building. That's why Paul in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, gave instruction to Timothy that he was to pass on to others. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Paul said, Timothy, you need to teach those who will listen the things that they need to do, following the will and instruction of Jesus our Savior, so that in that final day, they have a solid foundation on which to stand before God in judgment. We're building for eternity. We're going to get into that a little more in just a moment, but I want us to take just a little bit of time and consider, again, this idea that this is all in reference to the things that Jesus has just been teaching. When Jesus says, "He that does, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them," in particular, to that audience, he's talking about the things that we've been looking at over the last year as we studied Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the parts of the Sermon on the Mount. And note again the ideas that are put forth in the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. The teaching that Jesus has just given are sufficient to help them to be prepared for the storms of life and the ultimate storm, the day of judgment, to be ready for that difficult time. Jesus talks about quality characteristics. Meek, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Peacemaker. Those sort of things. Bearing up under persecution because you are doing my will. Our holy influence. Our lawful conduct. The exceeding righteousness that is pleasing unto God. The eternal treasures that we are looking forward to, that we need to be laying up and preparing for. The contentment that we ought to have. Putting God first and judging righteously and seeking after God's blessings. And back to contentment again, being satisfied with God's blessings. Keeping the law. Remaining on that righteous and upright course. And being alert to error. And making sure that we are dedicated to doing the will of God. Doing the will, not just hearing the will. These are all things that Jesus is referencing when he says, "Hear these sayings of mine and do them." These are not just things that will help us to be better people. The things we find in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and we find them in, I believe it's Luke chapter 6, we find some parts and pieces of them there in another series of lessons. These things help us to be prepared for the difficulties of life. These are the things that are a foundation that a wise builder will build upon. And each one of us is building. Each one of us is crafting our protection for the difficulties and struggles of this life. And our support for being able to stand before God. All of these things are useful and helpful to us in our everyday life. And when Jesus was teaching these things to these Jews, His reference was back, you follow the things that I have told you. Not the things that you have heard in the past, but the things that I have told you just now. You put these things into practice in your life and you will be able to stand. And I think that's an important point for us to make and us to keep in mind in regards to this idea of wise and foolish buildings. I don't know, maybe you hear me speaking this lesson this morning and think, well, that's not where I thought he was going to go with talking about wise and foolish buildings. But I think it's something that we need to consider. It's things that we need to have in our minds, and we need to use those things to help us to grow and to increase. And so we turn back to all those things that we've been studying over the last year or so in the Sermon on the Mount. Oftentimes we hear lessons about the Christian graces over in 2 Peter chapter 1. I think these lessons are just as important, if not more important maybe, because they will help us to develop those, and I call them characteristics instead of graces, but it will help us to develop those characteristics in our life. And all of those things work together to make us wise in our building, in our preparing our place of protection. And never forget that first and foremost, my responsibility is to prepare my place. Just like your responsibility is to prepare your place. We cannot help someone else if we're not already fortified ourselves, at least to some degree. I am building for me and you are building for you. But much like the people in the days of Nehemiah, we can help one another with our building as well. And I think that's what we do with our assemblies, with our Bible classes, with our studies together, with our encouragement and our strengthening of one another as we contact and speak with one another from time to time. But never forget, we are constantly building. Yeah, I know, that's a lot of passages. Just so you know, my software said I'd finish this in 9 minutes, I think it was. Not sure it was correct. We need to recognize that we're not just building for the here and now, we're building for eternity. I go back to chapter 6 and I remember the instruction that we're given there. We are to build in that place where our building will not deteriorate. We'll lay up treasures in heaven, a place where they will not fail. But in order for us to build for eternity, we first have to be builders. We have to be workers. That's what Jesus says. Not just hearing, but doing what I say gives us a foundation for a strong and steadfast building. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. These are instructions that Paul gives to Timothy. And there were a number of passages in 1st and 2nd Timothy that I could have used in reference to this, because those letters are all about Timothy. You need to go out and not only do the work yourself, but instruct others that they have work to do. When you look at the qualifications that are given in the books to Timothy and Titus about elders and deacons, you can't help but see that they're given responsibilities, activities that they must carry out, things they must do. We have to be workers. And we have to be diligent and focused in that work. And our work must be in the Lord so that we can be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And then we have a completely different illustration, but really saying the same thing. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Isn't that a whole lot like, make sure you got a good solid foundation under your building so that it can withstand the storms? How do we do that? We go to God's Word. We take God's Word into our heart and we put it into practice in our lives. My brothers, my beloved brothers, Paul references the Corinthian brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Constant and steady. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, just as you are doing. We have to be workers. We have to be workers who are working and building and standing and putting our building on a good, solid, firm foundation. Something that will not shift, will not change. Remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God's Word will not change. The world will pass away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's always going to be there, and if we build on that Word by hearing and doing, we have a foundation that will hold steady no matter what comes upon us. Paul said, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Remember, Paul told the Ephesian brethren, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. If you want a sound building that will withstand the storms, you build it on the teachings of the apostles and prophets as directed by the Holy Spirit. In accordance with the will of God through Christ. Go back to the Word of God, and that's where we start. That's the foundation for our building. If we were to go past and see somebody building a building and they're just sticking some sticks down in the dirt, our first thought is that's probably not going to last very well. Even if we were to go by and see somebody building a building and they're just setting it on top of some rocks that are sitting on top of the ground, we would think, you know, that might be all right for a while, but the right kind of storm comes along and that thing's gone. We need to build on the solid rock foundation that is Jesus Christ is found in His Word. We need that foundation. And that foundation is only found in Christ. That's why Paul told the Colossian brethren, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You ever try to pull something up out of the ground that's been there for a long time? Like a tree or a shrub. It's been there forever. And you go to try to pull it up and keep tearing things up because you can't pull it out because it is rooted in the ground. The only way to get some tree stumps out of the way is to just go all the way around them and cut all the roots off and hope that there's not a big root down there in the bottom that you can't get to yet. Because something that is firmly rooted, and I'm reminded of Psalm 1. A man whose delight is in the law of the Lord day and night is well rooted and able to withstand whatever comes after him. One who is in Christ is rooted and built up in the faith, established in the faith. And he has the help of God. Solomon in the Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And I want to say there's two areas where we can find advice. First, our advice comes from the Word of God. First and foremost, it is the overarching advice that we go to for everything. But we also need to recognize that there are those who are rooted and built up and established in the faith that we can go to for advice. And they can help us to understand. They can strengthen and they can encourage us. And we can depend upon them because they have built on a solid foundation and they have a building that will stand. Godly men. And I say that because that is one of the ways that God helps us today. It's through our brethren who are firmly rooted in the Lord. The psalmist tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Imagine building a house and then realizing that it could not stand because you didn't have it on a foundation. What a loss. What a point of suffering and sorrow that would be. That's going to be the condition of one who finds himself on the day of judgment who has not built on the foundation of Christ by hearing and doing the will of Christ. It's not enough just to know that Jesus is. We must put into practice what Jesus teaches. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we read over in 1 John. You keep reading through 1 John and it very clearly tells us that walking in the light means doing the will of God. It means keeping the commands of God. It means repenting and coming back to God when we find that we have strayed from those things. We need to recognize the importance of doing. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get across to these Jews who were listening to Him as He stood there on that mount and preached the gospel of the kingdom. It's not enough to hear. You need to put these things into practice in your life. We do that. And we build. Because we put our trust and our hope and our salvation in the Word of God. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, he was using that image of putting on the armor of God. And he said in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use that to stand against Satan. Use that to be prepared for the storms and difficulties of life. Again, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, y'all are probably already hearing this verse in your head. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I want you to notice, it says the Word is there so that we can be equipped for every good work. Doesn't mean that the Word is there to do all the work for us. It equips us for the work that we have to do. So therein is again this idea of it's not enough to hear the Word. I have to put it into practice in my life before it does me any good. Now, there's a lot of people that are concerned about finances, having the money to pay for things. And there's lots of plans out there that you can turn to, and you can find ways to save money and put money back and be prepared for retirement and all sorts of things. Not one of them will do you any good until you put them into practice. Every single one of us knows that the best way to be prepared for financial emergency is to not spend the money that I have in my pocket right now. And then we go to Walmart and there's something shiny over there. And it has blinking lights. And it does things. It makes noises. Oh, cool! And now we're less prepared. Because what? We didn't put into practice the thing that we knew we were supposed to be doing. We need to act on God's Word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14 we read, I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. I think we need to understand that inherent in what John has to say there is the idea that they are living in the Word, abides in you. It's not just that the Word of God is there, but it is that which in which you live. It's the same thing as walking in the light. It's the same thing as standing in the Word. The same thing as using the Word to train us and then put it into practice as it equips us to do what we need to be doing. God's Word is there, but it will do us absolutely no good until we put it into practice. Jesus told these Jews who were listening to Him, you've heard great things. Now go and put them into practice in your life so that they will benefit you. So that you can handle the storms. And these Jews had storms coming. It doesn't take much reading in history, even in the New Testament, just the history book of the book of Acts, to recognize that these Jews who had given themselves to the Lord and were following Jesus needed that steady building. They needed that foundation because persecution arose from among their own brethren. Their Savior was crucified before them. And what does it say? When He was arrested, they scattered. There's mention of two of the disciples of Jesus. And one of them was following afar off. It was after His resurrection and His appearance to them that they began to rally together again. And then we find the persecution that came in the days of Stephen that began to increase because of men like Paul. And we need to understand, Paul wasn't the only one that was going out doing that. Well, it was Saul then, not Paul. They scattered everywhere. They ran for their lives. But as they scattered, as they ran, because they were doing the will of God, not just hearing the Word of God, they were diligent in telling others about the gospel. And over time, they overcame that persecution. There was more persecution coming, but they needed that steadfastness, that foundation that comes to one who is wise in doing, not just hearing. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as God is righteous. 1 John 3 and verse 7. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. Not the one who hears of righteousness, the one who thinks about righteousness, but the one who puts it into practice. Be faithful even though it means you're dead, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful even though it means your death. In other words, do the things that I have told you even though it cost your life. Why? Because it's not the storms in this life that ultimately we are preparing for. It is that day of judgment. That is going to be the ultimate storm if we're talking about these things in light of storms. It is that day of judgment when we will come before God and He will judge us based not on what we have said, based not on what our general ideas were, but based on what we have done in regards to His Word. Now, our actions need to be true to His Word. There were many who will cry, Jesus tells us in these verses just above, who will cry that we've done many things in Your name, Lord, but those things are not what He said, and so they will be told to depart. I never knew. We need to be able to stand before God and Him look and see, You served me. You did my will. We need to take the will of God. We need to learn it. We need to understand it. And we need to put it into practice in our life. And the question for us is, am I showing wisdom in the way I'm building my life? Each one of us can look at what we're doing. We can compare our lives to what God's will says, and we know in our hearts, am I doing the will of God? Sometimes that doing will look a little less active than other times. Sometimes that doing has to do with meditation and thought processes. But oftentimes that doing has to do with activity. And what actions I am taking. How am I responding when people speak evil of me? How am I responding when things don't go my way? What am I doing when things get hard? How am I treating my family? How am I treating my neighbors? How am I interacting with society? What am I doing? And is it in accordance with the will of God? God has provided the pathway to eternity. We talked about this when we talked about choosing which way. Choosing the wise way. The straight and narrow path rather than the broad, unrestricted area. Following the path that God has laid out to be in eternity with Him, we need to make sure that we are giving attention to the Word that He has left for us and that we are actively doing His will because we are preparing for judgment. Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, who are zealous for good works." Paul said God gave us what we needed and instructed us to follow His Word, to do His will. God's blessings, God's grace are not so that we can just sit back and wait for eternity. That we can just go about our day with the attitude that, well, as long as I don't mess up too bad and completely deny my Lord or turn my back on Him completely, God's going to take care of everything. Now, I don't think it's the idea that we've got from the old song that used to say, God's going to get you for that. Some of y'all have heard that. Some of y'all may have never heard that phrase before. I don't think that's the case. He's not up there looking down upon us saying, ha ha, you messed up. But He's also not up there just pouring His grace out like a sprinkler on us, no matter what's going on in our life. Am I doing His will? That's the difference. God's blessings are for those who belong to Him, who are in Christ. You know how to be in Christ? You submit yourself completely to His will. And you hear His word, and you follow His teaching. Are you building with wisdom? Are you active in doing the will of God? Are you in Christ? Or for most of us, am I still in Christ? Because you know, it doesn't take those big, huge things where we say, I completely reject Jesus and want to have nothing to do with Him. Certainly that'll sever our relationship. That'll get in the way. But we can just keep letting all the little things pile up. Just letting things slip to the side, not pay attention to them, not make any correction, not get too worried about things until we get to the point that there is so much sin that God cannot see us anymore. God is not going to forgive us of sin that we continue. Now, I'm confident that God knows my heart. He's aware. But there are certain things that I need to be very careful about because they are problems for me. And if I'm not watching myself, I will slip. And if those things continue, I'm going to have sin hiding God's face from me, just like Israel did in the day of Isaiah. So the question for each of us, am I doing God's will? Am I diligent in putting into practice His word? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are willing to give Him your life, give Him your all, you can be saved from your sin and walk with Him in this life and be with God for eternity by submitting to His will, confessing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, turning away from serving yourself, giving yourself wholly over to serve Him. You can be buried in baptism. You can have your sins washed away. And you can rise from that watery grave a new creature. Resurrected to a new life as a child of God. And you can have hope of eternity. You can know that God will be there whenever you call on Him. That God will walk beside you. He will walk with you. And as long as you do His will, He will watch over and protect you. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to keep you from losing your life or keep you from persecution. In fact, Scripture is very clear that sometimes the way we learn better is by making mistakes or by being faced with difficulties and working through them. But you will have a hope of God to be with Him in all eternity. If you continue His will, if you look this morning and you find you're straight from there. You've not been diligent in doing God's will. There's going to be some lacking in your building. And you need to shore that up by getting back to doing the will of God. And if you will confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, He's promised that He will wipe our sins away as if they've never been. as long as we're willing to turn and come back to Him to seek forgiveness. He's not going to forgive us if we don't come to Him, if we're not continually turning back to Him in repentance, and giving Him our all. And if you find this morning there's something in your life that's amiss that needs to be corrected, and we can assist you, time and opportunity is yours. Why don't you come while we stand and sing for your encouragement?